Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. It is post Thanksgiving, so we're all kind of moving a little slow. My brain is none the same, but today we have Leslie Ann Morris with us, who is a short-term real estate investor with a goal to make 1,000 women real estate millionaires. I am super excited to have her here. Leslie, thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thanks, Gabe. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I told you before we hopped on here, we like to start with stories. We like to hear how people got to where they are today. So why don't you take us back to the beginning? How'd you get started in real estate?
Yeah. Well, I was a commercial banker for over 20 years. Worked with a lot of really high profile clients. And like throughout that journey, like my 20s and 30s mostly, I had a lot of mentors. You know, I have an outgoing personality. I'm a stranger to no one, as my mother would always tell me growing up. And I would just ask the questions, how'd you do this? How'd you buy this? How'd you afford this? And I always figured if they didn't want to answer that question, they could just say no, they're not going to answer it. But that's reasonable. I just learned through these clients that I had. And I knew one day that I would be a real estate investor. And that day came when I was living and working in Los Angeles. I had started a master's degree at USC down there, and just kind of something unlocked inside of me, something a little more entrepreneurial. And my goals just shifted overnight, and I started buying cabins in the Smoky Mountains. I'm making it really concise, but I basically just decided that I was going to do it one day and robbed my retirement and found a cabin on Zillow and put the ducks in a row and closed on a cabin just in a couple of months. It all happened really fast.
Nice. And that is, I love it when things, you know, people do have those kind of stories, because it really can happen quickly for anybody out there. You know, you see these people with 1,000, 20,000 units in their portfolio, and you're like, I can never get there. But really, you just have to escape the rat race, if that is your goal, if you want to escape the W-2, and that can happen so quickly. People don't realize that it really is not that far off. So love to hear that. I do want to jump a little bit deeper into that story, because I feel like there's a little more to tease out. So the first kind of questions that came to my mind is, why, I mean, you're living in LA, why the Smoky Mountains? What drew you to the Smoky Mountains?
Yeah, I had done some research. I was Googling all sorts of weird things, like how to buy a property cash, where's like the lowest price per square foot, what's the funnest type of real estate to own, like just lots of random searches. And I was going to buy just a house in Ohio and just have a tenant in it. And that deal fell apart overnight. And so then I went back to something I'd seen on Airbnb's website that was like their top five markets for the prior year. And three of those five markets were in Eastern Tennessee. Mm. And so then I thought, well, shoot, you know, that's showing me something, a little secret, if you will. So then I did a little bit additional research and realized that the price per square foot was much, much lower than what I could afford, you know, in Southern California at the time. So that was how I chose it. And honestly, my thought process with it was never like, oh, I'm going to become some overnight success entrepreneur, real estate cabin lord, or whatever.
Whatever you want to call it.
Right. And so I just was like, oh, well, I'll just, you know, throw it on Airbnb since they feel strongly about the market. And if it can make its mortgage, cool, I'll have an awesome place to go stay. That was kind of my mindset. I knew nothing about Tennessee at all, really. And no, I don't know anybody here. I do now.
That's good. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people, when they first get into real estate as an investment, they usually start with long-term rentals in the town that they live in. Obviously, you're in LA. It's really hard to buy even a single family there that cash flows. But why did you choose cabins over, you know, the standard run-of-the-mill single family long-term rental?
Yeah, I think when that deal fell apart overnight, like basically the seller of his home just decided he didn't want to sell it. And that gave me some fear. And then I started thinking like, well, if I get somebody into like a 12-month lease, I really don't have, you know, it's landlord tenant rights are a bit spooky. And I thought, you know, I'm just never going to be able to get in there. And you hear, you know, whatever horror story you hear, you kind of take it to heart. I've had long-term rentals since I started investing in cabins, you know, accidental ones where it's like previously was my house and then I put a tenant in there. I've done some of that and I've been able to find like very good quality tenants. It's just a different structure. And I also will say I have like a long, like my main hobby growing up in my 20s and 30s was travel. So I've been all over the world. I've been to 45 countries, a lot of them twice. And so that kind of also just that appeal of vacation real estate was, that was just a true appeal for me too.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like that is a draw for a lot of people who go into the short-term space is the vacation aspect of it. You know, it's not something like self-storage. You don't want to go and visit your property or industrial, you know, vacation properties. There's definitely that allure. It's not something that I've jumped into yet, but I understand why you'd want to do that. So from that first rental, that first, you know, the first cabin you bought out there in Tennessee, you've bought 10 more or you're at 10, so that'd be 9 more. So what were the first few steps after you bought that first rental? What were the steps that allowed you to scale past one?
Yeah. I have 10 now and I'm building one and then I'm under contract on another one. I'll be at, what's that? I lose track of them so quickly. My first one I bought, I only put 10% down. I did it as a second home vacation loan. So okay. I had enough money to buy two. So I got a second one, like I bought the first one in September of 2019, and then I bought the second one in November. And then I quickly decided to move to Tennessee. A lot of different things shifted in my life all at the same time. And it's like, I was always meant to be here. So within just a few months, I was selling my home in LA. That did allow me to buy a couple more. But the cash flow from just the first two was how I scaled so fast in, 2020? And then in 2021, as you're aware, like short-term rentals became this sexy, beautiful buzz term and everybody was just, you know, so I bought like 5 or 6 in 21. Like it just made really good choices. I did rob the retirement again, partially a little bit. Now that's
not really robbing because I mean, technically these are your retirement. You're just transferring.
I mean, do some research on, I'm happy to share information about that. But I was in a closed session with, he's an advisor to Robert Kiyosaki. Tom Wheelwright, and okay. His opinion on 401k will unlock your brain. So definitely Google Tom Wheelwright, Wheel, W-R-I-G-H-T, one word, and then Google 401k. I won't speak on his behalf, but that I was like, yes, that's my strategy.
That makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, you mentioned the next question that I had is how did you finance all this? You already kind of went into that, but the first thing that you kind of mentioned was that 10% down. I've never financed a vacation property. Usually, with investment properties, you have to put 20% down as a minimum. What was the financing available for the investment properties that you first bought?
Yeah. I actually just published a blog post. It's out on Bigger Pockets talking all about financing specifically for short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of options. So what I did and what I recommend to my clients now, because I do work as an agent and a property manager, but I recommend that they leverage the conventional mortgage route. Once you get to 10 products, you're disbarred out of that. I won't get into all that, but they...
Is that 10 in their portfolio or is that 10 in one purchase?
Loan products in your personal name. It's a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Okay.
So if you can, you know, at least, you know, your first five, a lot of people are like, oh, there's so much risk buying in an LLC. There's conflicting opinions on that even. I just have robust commercial liability insurance policies on each one. So, you know, liability wise, I'm starting to restructure now that I have, you know, in the double digits of properties, but talk to conventional mortgage lenders first. They do still have, as of this recording, the ability to do 15% down and 10% down. And there's some rules around how to do that. And then there are other loans once you, you know, or if you're like debt to income is not strong enough, but you have real estate experience, there are other types of loans, specifically the DSCR, debt service coverage ratio loans. It's kind of similar. I did like a very large, massive, like private equity deals when I was in banking, but I've done that in my past. So I just know a lot about lending, but the DSCR is really, asset-based. So they're going to be looking particularly at the property that you buy. They'll look at your credit score and they will look at your body of work to, you know, qualify you on experience basis. But primarily they're looking at the asset and they're looking at, is it going to make money? If it breaks even, sometimes that's okay. They'll give you just a higher interest rate, but they want to see it like make, you know, for each dollar, make like $1.15 or $1.25. Like it's okay, not
so 1.15. Yeah, that's pretty standard.
So they, you know, in the olden days before short-term rentals, they would look at your lease agreement. So these are a little more risky. There's not a lease agreement. So they may use data from like AirDNA or historical information, or like, because I own the property management company, I have clients, we'll create like a pro forma for them based on other units that we already manage to say, okay, similar zip code, similar type of property. Here's where, you know, we expect the rental income to be, and they can use those types of reports. I just did a commercial loan with like a local community bank. That's a third option for lending. And they were able to use my own pro forma.
Yeah.
And I was bought. It was, yeah, that was fun.
Local credit unions are definitely the way to go, even for any commercial asset. You know, short-term rentals, they're not necessarily, I don't know if they are, do classify as commercial, but short-term rentals too. I mean, if you go to a local credit union, I'm telling you, it's so much easier to find somebody to finance locally than it is nationally, for everybody out there looking at this.
But yeah, I mean, you know, do your due diligence. I would say cast a wide net and talk to a lot of different lenders, especially if you're not under a time crunch. Once you start shopping, if you don't have a pre-approval letter, that's a huge mistake, because then you're going to see something you love and not be able to grab it. So I definitely recommend like lending is your first thing. And, you know, if you don't own real estate today, it's pretty dang awesome how you can use other people's money to buy it. Skin in the game is truly important. A lot of banks and lenders, and I can speak since I did it for over 20 years, but it's like they're looking for you to have something to lose in the deal. They're not going to just lend you all the money. Now, if you can rob your retirement, or you can borrow family money, or you can bring in a partner, there's so many different ways to do it. And you have to put in the work. And when you put in the work, you can find the deals. It's that's kind of how I'm, you know, I don't have any partners in my deals. I mean, I think the reason I had so much success was I had extremely good credit and a very high paying job. So I was able to leverage that. So if you're sitting there and you're like a lawyer or a doctor, what the hell are you doing if you're not buying real estate? Buy real estate.
Absolutely. So in that, what you were saying, I kind of caught on to your opinions on LLCs. I generally, you know, I have been taught, and I generally suggest people to buy properties in unique LLCs to that property. It sounds like you have heard differing advice for short-term rentals. Why don't you recommend people buy, you know, each individual property in its own LLC?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a specialist in that regard. Mm. So, you know, to each their own. There are differing opinions. Actually, it was just in Miami at a conference that was short-term rental focused. And there was a lawyer there who's a lawyer focused on short-term rentals. And he does have a strategy like that, that's very laddered. And there's like a corporate org chart for how you're going to hold stuff. The normal person that's going to want to buy a few short-term rentals and self-manage them, they can do it in their personal name. You just want to be really well insured. Now, that doesn't mean that something, you know, there's risk in real estate. There's always going to be risk in everything in life. That's what makes life beautiful. So you can get sued, something can happen. But I've found, you know, in the volume that I'm at and how, you know, the few years I've been doing it, that this is working fine for me. We have tested it and it's working. But I am now that I'm, you know, my portfolio is a lot more sizable than it used to be. So I am restructuring some of it. You can't just remove your name and put an LLC on there. It's a little more tricky than that. There's some steps involved. But I would just say, do your due diligence. A good place to start is Bigger Pockets. I'm really active in that community. But just, you know, network with other people that are in real estate and they can give you information on, like, you know, the pros and cons, and then weigh everybody's opinion and make your own choice.
Absolutely. So before we jump into the quick question round, I did want to ask one last question. You mentioned that it's your goal to help 1,000 women become millionaires through real estate.
Yeah.
How are you doing this? What's the structure behind this? Tell us a little bit more about this goal.
Yep. Well, I have some exciting things coming around that in 2023 that I cannot reveal yet. But yeah, I just, since I was a little girl, always wanted to lift others up and help others out. And I think when I look at, like, what I'm doing in real estate, you know, obviously I'm doing it to become wealthy. That's, you know, everybody wants the quality of life. But then after that, why are you doing what you're doing? I've always loved public speaking and doing things like this and just creating awareness and giving others empowerment. And I think there's not enough women investors. I think about a third of all investors are women. That's the statistic. And it's sad because on the flip side of that, 90% of all millionaires are created because of real estate. So it's like, then that goes to show we're going to have a lot less women with money. And that's a problem. So I'm just trying to create awareness now. That's what I'm doing. I do coaching and all of that, but I'm going to be creating something a little bit more robust in the coming months around that.
All right. And for any woman out there who'd like to get involved, where should they go to learn a little bit more?
Yeah. I'm super active on Instagram. I actually share strategies on there. And that is at leslie.ann.morris, and it's Ann with an E. So that's the Instagram. And then I also have my own website. My like branding is just my name, leslieannmorris.com.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So that wraps it up. Let's jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. It starts with books. I know you already, we talked about this. You're ready for this question. So give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom and one for real estate specific.
Yeah. I mean, I think anything by Gary Keller is a winner. Mm-hmm. I started as a Keller Williams agent. I'm no longer, but anything he's written right now, I'm reading The One Thing. Mm. Can't tell you what it's about because I literally just downloaded it. But then obviously Robert Kiyosaki, anything by
Rich
him.
Dad,
amazing. I've met his wife, phenomenal woman. If you are skeptical on real estate, or if for some reason you've done a lot of research and have not pulled a trigger, read his Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Go back and reread it like 1,000 times and then try to disagree with him. That's my challenge.
That is a time-tested book. You know, I don't know how many people have come on here and recommended that one just because
that's the book.
It's the book that you need to read if you are not yet in real estate. Even if you are already in real estate, it's a good refresher on why it's so effective to buy real estate as an investment tool. So that moves us on to the next question. This is for your younger self. So let's go back to the Leslie who was still working as a banker out in LA. Go back to her, look her in the eye, give her one piece of advice moving forward.
I mean, I know everybody says to start sooner.
True.
I like to travel. So I spent like tens of thousands of dollars on vacations. Awesome. Like safaris and just things that would blow your mind. I've been everywhere. But that kind of gave me that hospitality streak that I so need in this business. So I can't regret that. But like maybe I could have, you know, not always had the ocean view room and saved some money, and then I'd have more money for real estate.
There you go.
I don't know.
I've never been. It's funny. I feel like, you know, there's so many people who try to split the world into two camps. You're either this or that. But I really do feel like there's makers or savers. I've never been a saver. I've always been focused on making more money versus saving. But looking back, there's definitely things that I bought that I probably didn't necessarily need. So I will support that piece of advice there. Moving on. The next question is Superman strengths, Superwoman strengths. We are all gifted with unique strengths that we uniquely give to this world. So what is your Superwoman strength?
I think the ability to motivate and lift up others. Yeah. And I'm an extreme action taker. So if I say I'm going to do something and I don't do it, I'm probably dead. Like, all right. If I say I'm coming to your house at a certain time and I'm not there, I was kidnapped.
You should probably call 911. That is good to be in real estate, because real estate is all about action. So yep. That moves us to the next one. This is tools. Tools are the backbone of all our businesses. So what's one tool you would recommend to everybody listening?
Yeah. Utilize apps. And I think I talked about this on another podcast recently, but I have this thing that I have to do because I just like lose focus of what I'm doing in the moment, like to details. So as soon as I get something in my brain that I'm like, oh, I need to do that or take action on that, I'm brain dumping into something, whether it's like your task app or your calendar, like I'll put like to-dos in the calendar. But it's like, as soon as I think about it, because if I wait a split second, it's probably gone. So just that's probably the most important. And it's not some fancy, I'm sure there's some fancy app. Somebody's like, oh, well, she should have said that.
I'll step in here and give a task app. I use Todoist, which is it's super simple, but they've perfected the task app. It's not, it's not a really super complicated process, but I love that app for exactly what you said. When you have something that you need to do, you just open it up, plop it in there, and get to it later when it's time to decide what to do for the day. Todoist. Yes. I'm gonna throw that one out there for you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
And that moves us to the next question. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed significantly to your career today?
Oh gosh. There are so many people. I think the two biggest people in my life are my mom and dad. Okay. And, they both in different, very different ways told me my mother is like, work your ass off. And my dad is like, you can do anything you put your mind to. So when you combine like those two forces,
you're like, all right, let's do it. I love it. Well, shout out to Leslie's mom and dad for helping her get to where she is today. And that moves us to the second to last question. This is about locations. It's a big world out there, a lot of opportunity to invest. So what is one metro that you are most excited about investing in today?
Oh, wow. I mean, I don't really do that today. I bought a place, like a fun place for me. In Nashville, that's where I'm at right now. It's a beautiful high-rise condo. I would love to kind of like, as I'm here, I usually come here and decompress from real estate stuff, or I'm in the Smokies, but, I'd like to just explore this market and see if there's some business I can do here. I don't know what that could look like. Short-term rentals are heavily regulated here. Mm. So that's not as fun. But I have quite a few friends here that are real estate developers or lending brokers. And so there's definitely a lot of growth here. So I will probably take a look at that. That's probably the only thing that's exciting me right now. And it's because I'm here sometimes.
Nashville is a great, great market. And man, that one street in Nashville is just so loud, but also so much fun.
Broadway.
Broadway. That's the one. Yeah. There you go.
Well, I kind of do.
All right, that leads us to the very last question. You've already touched on this, but I'm going to ask it again. You've given us a lot of good advice. I'm sure people want to reach out. Remind people what is the best way for them to get in contact with you.
I would just say Instagram. I have a link tree on there that'll lead you to everything I got my hands in. I have, like I said, big projects coming next year. That's where I'll be counting down to that and letting people know where to find me. I'm speaking at a lot of conferences next year, too. So that is at Leslie.Ann.Morris.
All right, perfect. And I will put that link in the show notes. So if y'all want to reach out to Leslie, just go ahead and click the little more in the description. It'll pull down the full description, and in there you can find Leslie's link. All right, Leslie, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thank you, Gabe. That was fun.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. If you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe, at therealestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic week. As always, keep rocking real estate, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make.
If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.